Dear Lord, we come to you today. Just thank you so much for your many blessings on us. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have together in church this morning. And thank you, Lord, for your word that we have before us, Lord, that we can learn about you, Lord, that we can grow in our walk with you, Lord, that we can be strengthened in our faith, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you be with our meeting today, Lord. I just pray that your presence would be felt. I pray, Lord, your spirit would guide and direct in hearts and minds here today. I pray, Lord, you just help me as I teach your word, as I preach your word, Lord. I just pray that you would just fill me with your spirit, Lord. I just pray that you would guide and direct my thoughts and my words, that they would be exactly what's needed today, Lord. I pray that you would help me today, Lord, as I know I'm unable to do anything without you, Lord. And I just want to acknowledge that first and foremost, Lord, that I need you, Lord. I need your help, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, ask that you please be with the class in the back, Lord. I pray your blessings on that. I pray, Lord, be with those who are teaching, Lord, that you would just give them wisdom and guidance, Lord, as they're pouring your word into these young minds, Lord. I just pray be with these kids, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you guard their hearts and their minds, that you draw them to yourself, Lord. We pray that good things would happen in their lives, Lord. I pray that they'll be saved young age, Lord, that they desire to serve you, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you just please be with those who are still on their way out today, that you would just watch over them on the roads, Lord, keep them safe as they travel in. And, Lord, I just pray you'd be with those who are unable to be here, Lord. I just pray that you'd be with them as they're working, as they're traveling in different things, Lord. And, Lord, we just ask you, help us as a church to be a witness for you. Help us to be a light. Help us to be an encouragement to other believers, Lord. And we thank you so much for all that you do, Lord. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Okay, as I said, page 203 is where we're at. And just by the way of a little bit of review, for the past 4 weeks, I turned one lesson into four. Surprise. Anyway, I think the one that we have today will be a little bit shorter. But anyway, we were looking at the local church and what the church is in the past 4 weeks. And just back a page or so on page 201, we have a review. And we see that the church was established by Jesus, and it exists to give God the glory, on page 201. And whenever it says, what is a local church? A local church is individual bodies of believers who gather together as a church and follow the New Testament patterns of church practices. And so church is simply God's people meeting together to glorify God and build up each other. Question number three, what does the word ekklesia, the Greek word for church, what does it mean? And ekklesia means a called out assembly. And so we are called out of this world. We assemble together as believers to carry out God's work. Number four, what is the purpose of observing the Lord's Supper? We said it's not a sacrament, but instead, it is to remember Jesus' sacrifice for sin and to examine ourselves for sin, for things that would hinder our fellowship with God. And on page 202, in what three ways is the church vital? And this comes from the headings of the different sections we went through. Three ways that the church is vital. It is the guardian of truth. If the truth is going to be found anywhere, it should be the church, right? It is God's plan to reach the world, and it is God's place to nurture Christians. So it is vital. Number six on page 202, what are some of the purposes of the local church that help you grow in your Christian walk? And once again, these are listed in the body of what we studied. And so the purposes is to preach the word, to provide fellowship, to provide oversight, to restore sinful or straying members, to disciple new believers, to mature them, and ultimately to bring glory to God. Okay? Don't need to repeat any of those.
No, Pastor, sorry. Last week I was at church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did the application to,
What page are you on?
The church, that is 188. Then we finish on the local church application, then about decide to be. That is 191. That was where we finished. So I'm lost.
Okay, I'll explain it in just a minute. Okay. Okay, so page 202.
202.
Okay, you're there?
Okay, I missed one there. I got preaching the word, fellowship, oversight, to glorify God, restore others, and to mature believers.
Preach the word, provide fellowship, provide oversight, restore sinful or straying members, disciple new believers, and mature them to bring and to bring God glory. So that's number 6 on page 202. And number 7. What are 3 decisions you can make regarding your involvement in the local church? Be faithful in attendance, be accountable to leadership, and be committed in your involvement. So these are the 3. Okay, so as you pointed out, we finished on page 191. Now we're on page 203. And the reason for that is that page 193 through 202 is intended to be daily devotions. Okay. And so you can go through. See, these are meant to be each of them one lesson. I made this into 4. But anyway, it's meant to be one lesson. And then throughout the week, you've got a reading that has to do with the lesson. And if you haven't been reading these, I encourage you to go back and read them. They're just very short. I mean, just 1 page, 1.5 pages a piece. But it goes in depth and it tells more. Maybe I need to remind each week.
Yeah.
I talked about this at first. I'm not sure who was there and who wasn't. But it's intended to be, okay, on Sunday we do this lesson, then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there's 4 different devotions. Then on Friday you've got the review and you go through and you answer the questions and have those answered when you come in.
Yeah.
And I haven't talked about this as much just because I can't do one of these lessons in one setting. I have too many thoughts that I want to get across with it and questions and different things.
Yeah.
And I'm not good at sticking with a curriculum. I can't just say what they say and move on. I got too many other things I want to say. But anyway, on each of these lessons, it's got this supplemental material, these devotions for each day, that many of them are really quite good and helpful. And so they'd be good for you to go back and to look over again. And if you're looking for just a little bit of biblical encouragement for each day, just go back and review one of them a day for the next however many weeks and look through those and see what it says and kind of remember the things that we've looked through in it. I think it'll be a help to you.
Yeah.
Okay. And so today we are on what's supposed to be week 10. It's probably week 20. I don't know. I got to laugh at myself with that. I mean, hopefully you guys will as well. Aren't you glad I don't try to stuff it all in 1 week?
Yeah.
You'd be here until like 3 o'clock. Okay, so we'll say chapter or lesson number 10 instead of week 10.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about our place in our church family. And I just want to say at the outset of this that people's idea of what it means to be a church or what their place is in a church can be vastly different depending on your background, where you come from, what your experience is in church. And what I mean by that is a lot of churches, a lot of denominations, a lot of religions present the church as being an add-on to your life, as being something that is just an event that you attend, a ceremony you go through, some sort of a I guess I could just leave it as a religious event that you go to. And rather than being part of a body or a family that you belong to. And a lot of people see church as almost a spectator event. And what I mean by that is, okay, I come to church, I sit in my seat, I might join in singing the songs, but the preacher preaches. Other people do this. You know, we got teachers that teach the kids. We got the preacher that preaches the messages. We got, you know, people that do these things. And it's my place to just come and sit and receive. And God doesn't intend for us to be just simply coming in to receive. God intends for us to be plugged in, involved, and be a part of the church. The church is a body. A church is a place of service. It is a place to grow. And there are things for us to do. Each of us contribute different things to the church. And so it's not meant to be we're not a consumer, I guess is a good way to put it. And society has church as being a consumer event where you're coming in saying, what does it have to offer me? What can I get from it? And that's not what we see the church as being. Whenever we study through the scriptures and we see how it's presented in scripture, is we see believers coming together to affect one another's lives,
yes,
to give and to receive, to encourage and to be encouraged, to serve and to be served. And it is an interaction that takes place. There is a good biblical word that has lost its meaning over the years, and Paul uses it several times in his writings, and that word is communicate. Okay? You all familiar with the word communicate in Scripture? Whenever we think about communication, it's, okay, I'm communicating, right? We think of communication as being the transfer of information, right? But in the Bible sense, whenever Paul talks about communicating, it is the idea of an exchange.
Yes.
Because in communication, it's not one-sided. It's meant to be a conversation, giving and receiving, right?
Yeah.
That's another word in Scripture. It has some conversation, communication. And it's talking about the giving and receiving, that both people are involved. And so whenever we are communicating, whenever we are in conversation, it encompasses so much more than just I'm sitting here and listening. It's that I am absorbing, but I'm also giving back and forth. Okay? And so church isn't meant to be one-sided. And to that effect, we're going to find out, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're going to find out that God equips every believer to take part in his body, to take part in the church. And we're familiar with the body analogy that Paul uses in the book of Romans, the book of Corinthians. We're familiar with that each of us are different members of one body. Each of us have different parts, and he compares to different body parts, eyes and ears and hands and feet, but one body. And so we see that God has given each person, and this is something that I emphasized in preaching last week, that God has given each person different abilities and different talents and different giftings in order to minister to one another, minister to the body, and participate in his work in this world.
Right.
And so that's something for us to get across in our mind, that this is more than just, I'm showing up to listen to that guy for an hour or 2 hours, and then I want to go home and go about my week and see to my business. But instead, I'm coming to serve and to be served. I'm coming to be filled up. I'm coming to receive something so that I'm able to go and give out throughout this community.
Mm-hmm.
And not give out in the Irish sense.
Right, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so at the bottom of page 203, it says, in our last study, we saw some big picture truths about the church. We saw that the church is what the church actually is, how it should operate, and the importance God places on it. As I said, God places great importance on church, and if he does, we should.
Exactly.
But the church is more than a doctrine. It is a family. It's a place to grow with brothers and sisters in Christ. And I like the family analogy,
yes,
because families are complicated.
Yes.
Families take work.
Yes.
Families take love. They take grace.
Yes.
They take forgiveness. We get on each other's nerves. We get tired of one another. We fuss at one another. We fight sometimes. But we love one another, we encourage one another, we recharge one another, we enjoy one another, and it is all a beautiful thing,
right,
the bad and the good.
Right.
But it takes a commitment and it takes love to make it all work. Same thing goes in the church.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I'm still getting off track. I told you that this wouldn't take as long, but it might. Let's see what the Lord leads in here. Okay, so the top of page 204. So how do you fit into this family? In this lesson, we'll look at how you can be involved in the work of your church. The spiritual gifts God has given you to enable you for this work and the relationships you have with others in your church family. So let me ask you this. Do you think that you have any spiritual gifts? Do you think that God has given you anything in which to serve Him, in which to equip you to take part in His work? Okay? And a lot of times we're like, nah, I just believed, I'm just saved. But we know in Scripture that it tells us that God has gifted us abilities in which we can serve. And we're going to look at that today. Now, I will say the way that this curriculum is written, it presents spiritual gifts as a limited and a solid list of specific gifts. Okay? What I mean by that is it presents it as, okay, this is it in its entirety. These are the only things to choose from. I don't like to limit God in that way. Right. I believe that God is able to have gifts further than what's even listed in Scripture. He has different things that He gives to people. I will say there's a difference between our talents, natural abilities that we have, and spiritual giftings.
Yes.
But I believe both of those should be harnessed by us for God's glory.
Yeah.
Okay? If God gives you a talent, do all things for the glory of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
You find a way to use that for God's glory. If you can sing, sing for His glory. If you can bake, bake for His glory. If you can, if you're extremely technologically gifted and you're good at computers, you can use that for His glory. If you can, if you're mechanically minded, well, fix things for God's glory, you know? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Okay. So, lesson 10, join in the work of the ministry. You've heard the adage, many hands make light work. This is definitely true in relation to the work of the church. It's often been said that 10% of the people do 90% of the work within churches. We'll find that even in secular work. It seems like there is a group of people that do most of the work. But as the Word of God says, these things ought not so to be. Right? And so many hands make light work. God has given each person unique abilities to make a contribution to the body of Christ. So God has entrusted the church with the gospel and the responsibility to take it to all the world. So our first passage we're turning to is Matthew 28. Good morning, guys. Good morning. Okay, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. And we know this as the Great Commission. This is a familiar passage of Scripture. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." And so we know this passage as being the Great Commission. And so He has entrusted the church with the responsibility of encouraging and serving one another and bringing others along in spiritual growth and maturity. Okay? And so this is something that He has entrusted the church with. And so if we just look at the church as being an entirety, as being a whole, as being one lump body here, it can be, I guess, maybe a little bit, how do I say this? It's easy for us to take ourselves out of the equation. As I use the phrase sometimes, missing the forest for the trees. Well, in this case, we are missing the trees for the forest. And so whenever we say, oh, it's the church's job to reach the world with the gospel. Well, what is the church? Well, it's made up with individual believers. So that means it is the job of the individual believers to reach the world with the gospel. It's not as abstract that way, right?
Yeah.
Whenever we say, oh, it's the church's job to reach the world, that's an abstract concept. Okay, the church is going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do we mean by the church? Well, the pastor? No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just the building? No. Everyone as a whole?
Right.
Not really. Because everyone as a whole, as a collective, we're not going together every day out. It's us as individuals, as different members. Good morning. And so anyway, confused you, didn't I?
Just your wordiness.
My wording? Anyway. And so what we see in this is whenever he says the church is to reach the world with the gospel, it means that each individual believer, each individual member. And the way that I try to emphasize this is each of your lives touch different lives. There are people that you come into contact with that I don't come into contact with. There are people that you have relationships with I don't have relationships with. There are people that's going to listen to you that won't listen to me, and vice versa. There are people that I can reach that you can't. There are people that you can reach that I can't. There are areas that I'm never going to get to, and there's areas that I'll get to that you never will. And so we see the need for everyone, the entire church, to be involved. Every person. And it doesn't mean that every person is going out and preaching on the street corner. It doesn't mean that every person is going out and doing all these things that maybe we put in our mind that this is what ministry looks like. This is what Christian service looks like. This is what witnessing looks like. But it is a matter of living our lives in such a way that glorifies God where we're at. It's a matter of taking conversations and pointing them toward Christ. It's a matter of having influence in the areas that we are at for the cause of Christ. And it can be extremely simple things. It can be just a matter of being a godly individual at work and taking time to tell people about what you're excited about what God's doing in your life, about what's going on your weekend. When people say, how was your weekend? It was great. We went to church and we learned about this. And your coworkers are going to say, well, you're always talking about church. What is it about church? And it opens up doors of opportunity for you to speak about God. And it doesn't have to be some kind of awkward or weird or forceful or contrived way, but it is just allowing the things of God to filter into the different aspects of your life to have an impact where you're at. And you don't have to have a theological degree. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to have a title. You just have to be saved.
Right.
That's all it takes. And so wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, you can do all things for the glory of God. And this is what it intends for us to be. Whenever we talk about joining the work of the ministry, it can be at the ministry of reaching others in the place you're at, but it can also be ministry of the church here, because there are different opportunities to serve, different things to do, because this isn't meant to be, as I said, a spectator event.
Yeah.
But there are different things that we can do that we can give, and you may not be called to preach. You may not have the ability, as me, you may not have the ability to sing. I'm not going to sing a special, and you guys can be glad for that. Okay? You may not feel especially gifted in teaching the kid, but there's different areas that we can all contribute to the things of the church. Okay? I will tell you, one of the biggest areas in which people contribute, that everyone can contribute to, is attendance.
Exactly, yeah.
We might think that as being a simple thing, as being a small thing, but just the fact that you show up and that you want to be a part, and that you are present, that you are joyful, that you are engaged in the service, makes a huge difference.
Yes.
And I've said this before, but if visitors come, if lost people come out to service, and nobody shows up, it's pretty awkward.
Yes.
There's been, especially on Wednesday nights, whenever attendance is down and things, there's been times when people's come out, and it's like, I came for church, and I'm having Bible study with the pastor's family here.
They see all of us girls, him teaching. He's like, is this a women's lesson?
People's got questions floating in the back of their mind. They're like, did we just show up for family devotions?
Yeah.
You know, and that's just kind of a funny aside there. But that's the thing, is whenever we come out, by the way, it's an encouragement to me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's hard to preach to chairs.
Sure.
But anyway, it's encouragement to me, but it also shows an interest. It shows that people are involved. It shows that they want something, that they want to serve the Lord, that they're interested in the things of God. It brings excitement to one another, because even whenever, you know, attendance is down and things and people's looking around, it's like, where's everybody at? Does no one want to serve? You know, and it's discouraging, and Satan uses that against people to discourage them. And for whenever we show up and we are excited about it, we want to be in church, we want to be, and it's like, teach, preach, give me something. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I want something. That's a contribution to the service.
Yes.
Whenever the singing is going on, lift up your voice and sing. And I know I say I can't sing, but I still sing when it's time to sing. You know, show up, participate, be involved, look for opportunities. You know, all of these things are ways that pretty much everyone can be involved in what's going on in the church. And it has a very valuable contribution to what's going on. Okay.
I'll tell you, even with all of that, for me, this year, I've been trying to concentrate on the little things that make me happy. And I'll tell you, just we were sitting here during Sunday school, and it was just such a blessing to see Phoebe's little head bouncing up in the windows like she was just running to church. And in my heart, that made me so happy just thinking, you know, her just running this way. It was just so sweet. And what that contributed to me this morning, even though she's never going to understand or know it, it was just a blessing.
Well, and that brings out another thought to me with the whole idea of what we give to the church and what we contribute is, as parents, man, as you're coming and you're bringing your children to church and you are showing them, that is a ministry.
Yes.
You guys realize that? You are patterning before them, this is what Christian life is. This is what's important. This is where our priority lies.
Yeah.
Come on, kids, let's get ready. Let's go to church. And it's implanting that. It's cultivating that in their hearts. It's showing them we serve a living God. There is something here for us. We need to be in church. And so that is a vital part of ministry. But I will tell you that whenever it goes the other direction, and maybe I'm meddling, I don't know. But whenever it goes the other direction, it's like, oh man, I got to get up and go to church. I'm tired. I worked hard this week. I did all these. I don't want to go to church. Your kids catch that too.
Oh.
And so we have to be careful how we're ministering to these hearts. This is somewhere where you can show up and show off that, hey, this is something I can do for God.
Yeah.
One of the greatest things that you're ever going to do for God is the kids you raise.
Exactly.
The environment that you make, the attitude you have, the tone that you set before those kids, that is a ministry to God, and God is glorified in that.
Yes.
See, God's first, basically his first group, his first body, his first unit that he made was the family.
Yeah.
Okay? We find Garden of Eden creates all things, brings man and woman together, and he talks about he's going to leave father and mother, cleave to his wife, they're going to be one flesh. They're going to have children. They're going to go through and repopulate the earth. They're going to do all these great things. And then we find, you know, they're bringing up children and all. Even the in Genesis chapter 3, whenever he's dealing with the sin of Adam and Eve, he talks about the seed of the woman going forth. That the hope of mankind, of course, was going to be Jesus, but talking about the children that would come forth. And there was a long way between Eve and Mary. But all the way in between there was families who was raising their children and telling them about God. And ever since then, there's people raising their families, telling their children about God, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's nothing better that you can do as a Christian, and nothing better you can do for the church than to make sure that you pattern before your children a life of godliness and a desire to follow him. There's nothing better you can do. Now, that's not a cop-out and saying, okay, well, I'm not going to do anything else. I'm just going to concentrate on my family. If that's what God has for you to do, then praise the Lord, do that. But he may have more. He may have something else for you to do. So anyway, so we're about halfway down page 204. We looked at Matthew 28, 19 through 20. And it says, he has also entrusted the church with the responsibility of encouraging and serving one another, and bringing others along in spiritual growth and maturity. So it's not just a place for the gospel to go out. It's a place for us to grow one another. And everybody is learning different lessons. Everybody is at a different place in their spiritual journey. Everybody excels in different areas. Okay. And so we all can gain from one another. And we'll see in the end of this lesson, which will probably be next week, we will see the one another passages in Scripture. Okay? So, page 204, our next verse is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. There, I'm complicating things. I've got two books for you to be turning pages in, all right? Okay. Ephesians 4 and verse 15, as is listed in our book there. I'll go ahead and read verse 14 as well.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay, so Ephesians 4 and 14, it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so the emphasis on that verse is growing up, maturing, right? And so why are we coming together as a body of believers? Why are we ministering one to another? It is to help one another to grow up, to bring about growth. And as I said, everyone has a different contribution that they make to the body to help one another grow in Christ, to grow up in Christ. And so these responsibilities do not belong solely to the pastor or to church leadership. They belong to the church as a whole. It's not the pastor's job to do the work of the entire church. Rather, it is his job, along with others to aid him, to equip church members to do the work. Okay? And we talked about the family aspect, how the church is like a family. As Les and I are raising our children, okay, our desire is not to make them fully dependent on us for their entire life.
Right.
That would be extremely tiresome. I do not want that job. I don't want to be picking out their clothes and determining what they're going to eat and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable at 30 and 40 and 50 years old. And I have a feeling those of you with kids don't want the same thing for you guys, right? I said all along that my job as a parent is working myself out of a job, okay? And my job as a pastor is equipping you guys to make me less and less necessary, okay? I don't want it to be that you are dependent on me, that the only thing that you get from God comes from me. That would be a very malnourished Christian life. Okay? I mean, I try my best to study and to preach the Word of God and to feed you when you're here, but I trust that none of you guys eat once a week.
Right.
Right? I don't want to be the Spirit of God in your life. I don't want to be the place of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be the only place that you can get growth and encouragement or help. I want you guys to be at the place where you're growing and you're serving and you're doing and you're living and you are ministering and not just being ministered to. Right? I would love nothing more than to see everyone in the church going about and ministering and serving and carrying the gospel out into this community, into this town. And whenever people come in, seeing everybody taking place, taking part, and working and serving one another. And whenever there's lost folks that come in, gathering around them, rallying around them, and not saying, okay, well, there's a pastor, that's his job. But instead saying, hey, how can I make this person feel welcome? How can I be Christ to this person? So everybody's got a part in it, right? Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, we're already in Ephesians 4, if you've still got your Bibles open to the last place. But Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, so it's talking about God giving out gifts, the Holy Spirit giving out gifts to the body in order to do a few things here. It says, in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. The idea of perfecting doesn't mean you're ever going to be perfect and without sin. But that's the maturing, to bring people along, to help them to grow up. So why we have And why does the body have gifts? To grow one another, right? The second thing it says, for the work of the ministry. Ministering means serving. To serve one another, to serve the community, to serve the lost with the gospel, right? And then the last thing that it says there, the edifying of the body of Christ. To edify, to build up. So that's strengthening. So maturing, strengthening, and serving is what these gifts are here for. Okay, so apostles and prophets were temporary roles in the early church before the writing of God's word was complete. Now you'll notice there's a footnote there to Ephesians 2:20 that explains that the roles of apostle and prophet were foundational to the church. They're the foundation that things are built on. Whenever you go to build anything, you first build the foundation, and then usually it is buried and everything else is built on top of it. And that's what happened with the apostles and the prophets. They laid the foundation. It is there. It's what holds things up. It is where we have the word of God from. It's where we have the revelation of what the church is supposed to be, what the gospel is, what we're supposed to be doing. That foundation has been laid, and the church is built on that. Okay? And so the reason I'm pointing that out is there are those today that think they're still prophesying. There are those that think that they are still apostles today, in the same sense that Peter and Paul and others were. And see, apostles were sent ones, sent directly by God for a purpose and a time. Okay? The prophets, we're going to go into that in just a minute, but the prophets, we tend to get hung up on the idea of prophecy being foretelling the future. But the prophets that we find in Scripture have a twofold ministry. They foretell and forthtell. Okay? Does that make sense? I'll define that just a little bit. To foretell means that they are proclaiming God's word. And if you look at the ministry of the prophets, even the Old Testament prophets, most of their ministry was not spent sitting there as some sort of a psychic telling the future. That's not what they were doing. They were going out and proclaiming God's revealed word. Now, the idea of foretelling was God revealed the word to them, and then they went and told it abroad. Because guess what? God's word wasn't complete yet. God hadn't finished his revelation. Now he has. And so we are still, in a sense, prophesying in that we are foretelling God's word. We are proclaiming, we are preaching his word, would be a New Testament way of putting it. And by the way, we are all to proclaim the truths of God's word. You might just not be called to an office of standing behind a pulpit and doing it to a congregation. But you're doing it with the way that you live your life, with the words that you say. You're doing it in your home as you're rearing your kids and you're teaching them about God. You are proclaiming God's word where you go. We are all meant to be preachers of God's word. Does that make sense? Okay, anyway, back on track. God has given church leaders the job of equipping you to take part in the work of the ministry and edifying or building up the body of Christ by reproducing new Christians who mature as disciples. So let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And I'll tell you, I really like this passage. And I could probably say that to a lot of passages we turn to, but I really like this one and what it lays out and the simplicity of what it lays out. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Okay? And the reason why I said I love this verse and what it says and the simplicity of it, you have four generations of believers in that verse. Y'all realize that? What he says in this, he says, the things that you have heard of me, started with Paul. He told Timothy. Timothy found other believers that had an interest and had an ability, and he took the things that Paul had taught him, and he taught them so they could teach others. Okay? a good way of multi-level marketing, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The idea that Paul, he says, I don't want this to end with me. I don't want it to end with you. I don't want to be the guru. I don't want to be the professor. I don't want to be the one who holds all knowledge. I'm taking what I know and I'm teaching it to you. And I expect you to teach it to others that are able to teach it to others. And down through the ages, and now we are teaching it here. This is the continuation of what he started back then. And we need to get in that pipeline, if you will. We are not meant to be the final vessel that everything is poured into. We are meant to be a conduit through which all these things flow. And so God can use each and every one of us to take the things that we have been instructed, the things that we have learned, and convey those on to the next person, to the next group, to the next generation, whether it be our children, or it be the younger folks around us, or the younger in Christ around us. But we just see this interaction between the believers where people are receiving the truth of God and they're taking it and they are ministering it to others. There's other places in Scripture where it talks about the elders instructing the younger ones and the younger ones seeking out the elders to learn of them. We have a beautiful picture in Paul and Timothy. We're just reading the book of Timothy here. We have a beautiful picture as Paul is taking everything that he knows and all the things that God's revealed to him, and he is putting those into Timothy and equipping him so that Timothy is able to take those and find him a Timothy. And his Timothy can find another Timothy. And so it's this idea of Paul and Timothy, Paul and Timothy. Every Timothy needs a Paul, every Paul needs a Timothy. So that we are able to convey the truth of God's word, encourage, build up, strengthen, edify, mature one another. And this is what it is. And you say, I don't know how I could do that. Well, you're further along than someone else. Yeah. Take someone who just got saved. You know more than they do. Don't take that in pride, but say, I know something. I can help them. Right? But it also helps us in humility to say, I don't know everything. Where can I learn it? And look out, people, to be a blessing to and to be blessed by.
Right.
Get in that pipework, in that conduit somewhere to where we are receiving and we are giving, to where we are growing in the cause of Christ. Okay. So how then can you join in the work of the ministry? The good news is that God has especially equipped you for this very task. And so that actually is the end of the introduction. And I am not really able to get into the next section very much. We'll cover a lot of it next week. I just want to barely get started in this just a little bit, get you thinking about it this week, and then we'll dive in a little bit deeper next week. Is that good with everybody? Okay. So it says, use your spiritual gifts. I asked earlier, and we've had several people join us since then, that do you believe that God has given you a spiritual gift? Do you believe that he has given you a spirit-given, spirit-empowered ability in which he wants you to serve him, to serve the church, to serve in the church? And we don't usually think too much about this. It's like, okay, God gave me salvation. Yeah, there's my spiritual gift. He saved me. I'm not talking about a gift of salvation. I'm talking about that he has given you an ability, something that is going to fit you for service within his body. He says, okay, you're saved, but I didn't save you to sit. I saved you to serve. But you're not going to do it in your own strength. You're not going to do it in your own ability. You're not going to do it by yourself, because whatever God desires for us to do, he desires to do through us. Okay? And I think that we get the wrong idea that, and I've said this before, we get the wrong idea that God's like, okay, I saved you, now get to work. What can you do? Earn your keep, right? And that is not God's attitude toward us. That's not the way that he works. That's not his. Whatever he calls us to do, he calls us to come up alongside of him so that he can do it in us and through us. Okay, we find the example in the New Testament of Jesus talks about taking his yoke upon us. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Y'all remember that passage? The picture of that is whenever they were plowing their fields, they had to train new animals. How do you train a new animal? How do you train a new ox to pull a plow or to pull a wagon? Well, you yoke it up to another animal that's already been trained. You yoke it up to an animal that already knows what it's doing. And so whenever Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and you shall find rest for your souls. And I know I butchered that verse, but y'all understand. What he is saying is, I know what I'm doing. I know how to plow the fields. I know how to pull the wagons. I know how to obey the master's commands, okay? And if you will just come in shoulder to shoulder with me in this yoke, then I'm going to lead you in the right direction. And he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm going to be doing most of the work. You just have to be connected to me. Can y'all see that in your minds? And so there was actually a particular, like a special training yoke that they would use where the experienced, the older, the strong ox was carrying most of the weight and just kind of dragging that young one along beside of him so it could learn how to do it. That's what Jesus is saying, is get in the yoke with me. Come alongside of me. You may not know what you're doing. You may not have the strength. You may not have the ability. Come alongside of me. Get tied together with me, and I am going to show you what you need to do. I'm going to show you how to do it, and I'm going to take most of the work, most of the weight upon myself. Okay? And then at the end of the day, those ox would be done. They'd plow the field, and they could look back at that plowed field and say, man, look at what we accomplished whenever most of it was done by that one ox that knew what it was doing, and the other one was just long for the... That's what God does in our lives. And I can look back over my life, and I can see clearly, I didn't know what I was doing, but I was yoked up to him. And I can look back and I can say, hey, look at what God accomplished.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And whenever we talk about serving in the church, whenever we talk about joining in the ministry, it's not, oh man, this is heavy. This is burdensome. I've got to figure this out. I've got to do all these things that are contrary to me, that I don't have the ability or the talents or the knowledge or any of these. I don't have the aptitude for this. God says, I have a place for you. I have given a gifting to you, an ability and a divine enabling to you to do exactly what I want you to do. If you will just surrender to the yoke and say, God, I want to serve you. Where do you want me at, Lord? And he will show you, he will reveal to you, he'll make a place for you, and he will use you sometimes in spite of yourself.
Right, yeah, definitely.
But he will plug you in. And my life is a testimony to that, because nothing that I've ever done, nowhere that I am, is because of me. But it's because of him. And so anyway, he has given us giftings, he's given us abilities so that we can serve him. So next week we're going to be looking at this idea of using your spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit provides every child of God with one or more spiritual gifts, and these gifts are divine enablements given to us at salvation for the express purpose of serving God through the local church. And so we're going to be looking at the bottom of the page, the last blank for today, discover your gift. Even as roles of the apostles and prophets were temporary, so were the gifts, some gifts called sign gifts, miraculous gifts such as speaking in tongues, visions, healings, prophesying. Those were temporary, and God used these gifts to authenticate. Maybe I should have stopped. This might be controversial. But anyway, authenticate the work of the apostles, and the need for them has disappeared with the completion of the written word of God. However, the Holy Spirit still gives gifts to Christians to equip us for ministry. And there's a summary of those gifts in Romans 12. That's where we're going to begin next week. Okay? Any questions or comments on what we've looked at today?
Thank you. I want to ask about the attendance. Like somebody used to come to church all the time, but you see a lifestyle so not like Christ-like. Mm-hmm. He's always doing things contrary to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talk of good. But the person used to come every day, attendance was very good, but the good, we can't see any good in the person.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the problem with that person? Is it that it's not surrounding or it's not obeying totally to the word of God?
Well, every believer has a responsibility to decide. This is what we talked about in the past, that, the phrase is escaping my mind at the moment. Individual soul liberty, okay? Every person has the ability to decide whether they'll be saved or reject salvation. Every Christian has the ability to either surrender or to, for lack of better words, rebel against God's will for their life. He doesn't make, salvation is free. He's not saying, okay, you're saved, now you have to serve me. He's saying, I've saved you, salvation is free, but now, whenever you realize what salvation is, you should desire to serve him. But we can get distracted, we can get discouraged, we can have our affection stolen by this world. We found that Paul had a fellow laborer by the name of Demas. You remember the story of Demas?
Yes.
Demas is found several places in Scripture, and he's shoulder to shoulder with Paul in the work. They are going forth, they are preaching the gospel, they are seeing people saved, there's churches being planted, there's Christians being discipled, there's growth going on, and we get to the place where Paul, tearfully, I believe, says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He doesn't say that Demas lost his salvation. It doesn't say that Demas was never saved to begin with. He says Demas took his eyes off Christ. Demas has lost his purpose. He has lost his vision. He had lost his direction. And for whatever reason, comforts of this life, prosperity in this life, whatever, he said, I'm just not going to serve the Lord anymore. I'm not going to continue in the ministry. Paul, sorry, I'm just not too crazy about this idea of being hated everywhere we go and persecuted and beaten, thrown out of town. I'm going to go. I'm going to get me a job. I'm going to have me a wife. I'm going to have a family. I'm going to have my kids. I'm going to work my job. I'm going to have my nice car. I'm going to have my nice house. I'm going to do all these things and forget the work of God. Okay? That's what he decided. And I think Paul, as I said, was tearful about that. He says, we used to serve together. He used to be so excited about the things of God. And he's not anymore. And that's the story of many believers. That's one reason why I stand up here every week encouraging you all. Keep going. Desire to serve God. Fall in love with him. Enjoy him. Because I don't want you to turn aside. I don't want you to be a used to be. And I've given the testimony many times that my history, my past, is littered with used to be's. And it has solidified in my heart, I don't want to be one of them. Out of all the teenagers that I grew up with in church and the ones that were saved around the same time that I used to go to church with and serve with, most of them's not church anymore. I've got several pastors that I used to sit under as they preached that are no longer in church. I don't want to be one of them. Okay? And I know I've got off course from what you asked originally. We see people in our lives drift away from God. People that we used to serve with, people that used to be faithful, people that used to be on fire for God, and now they're not. It can be because of hardships. It can be because of trials they went through. It can be because of how they responded wrongly to the things that God allowed in their life that was meant to strengthen them, and instead it hardened them. It can be because of the allure of this world. You just, they got their eyes off him. They got off track. And so we don't know why, but we know it happens. And what it should do on us, don't let it discourage you. It will. Don't let it discourage you, but instead let it galvanize you in your resolve to serve him. Let it inspire your love for those people, your desire to see them restored. How often do we find in Scripture the Lord talking about seeking restoration with one another. Seeking, even whenever it talks about church discipline and stuff like that, the idea behind that is to restore the one that's straying. He's not telling us to, you know, to cast them aside, to shoot them while they're down, but it's go out and seek it. He even said he left the 99 to go and get that one that is straying. We should be praying for them. We should be loving them. We should be encouraging them to return back, inviting them to come back. But we can't make them serve God. And so I don't want to be one of the ones that is used to be. I want to take that and say, by the grace of God, my children aren't going to one of these days grow up and say, I remember when Dad used to preach the word. I remember whenever Dad used to be in church. I remember whenever he used to live this way and believe this way. I don't want my children to ever say that. I want my grandchildren one of these days to still see me in the same place that I was when their mamas were little. Still doing the same thing I was whenever they were growing up. Not for my glory, not for my pride, but because God's that good and we should be serving him. Okay? Anything else? Okay. Well, if there's nothing else, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. We'll take a short break and we'll jump into the next service. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Just thank you so much for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had to study in your word, study about these ideas of all of us being involved in the work, all of us serving. And Lord, the fact that you have equipped, that you have provided the means necessary for us to serve you. You don't expect us to do it in our own power, our own ability. But if we'll surrender to you, if we'll submit to you, if we'll desire your work to be done, Lord, you'll give us what we need to do it. And Lord, may we all be mindful of that. And help us, Lord, to be desiring to be used of you. Help us, Lord, to be seeking a place to serve. And help us, Lord, to carry forth this mission that you have for us, Lord. We thank you so much for all that you do for us. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, your forgiveness. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells within us and for the work that he does in our lives, Lord. Lord, just be with us, Lord, as we take this break and into this next service. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name and amen. Amen.